The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, based on the imaginative ramblings of Douglas Adams, arrives in theaters this weekend as a brand new motion picture. But it's already been represented in several other media, including print, radio, and television. Because of its broadcast origins, I was eager to check out the latest incarnation. The first appearance of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, in any form, was in 1978, when the six-episode comedy was broadcast by BBC Radio in England. In terms of science fiction and science reality, that was a long time ago. Star Wars, the original movie, the one that started it all, had come out just the year before, which was why Douglas Adams's weird comedy about intergalactic exploration was considered doable in the first place. There were no personal computers then, much less the sort of handheld encyclopedic reference Adams imagined in the title of his story. Today, you can look at Adams's portable Hitchhiker's Guide, with its helpful animation and warm-sounding computer voice, and imagine a BlackBerry, or some other modern miracle of engineering. Back when Adams wrote his radio series, though, one of the modern miracles, which he made fun of mercilessly, was the digital watch. We've come a long way, baby, and so has The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. After its radio run, the story was adapted to the theater, and then, in 1980, as a novel, the first in a hugely successful series. A version of the story was released on record albums. This was long before CDs. And National Public Radio imported the original radio series and broadcast it in 1981. That same year, a six-part TV miniseries was presented in England, starring Simon Jones, David Dixon, and, as the voice of the computerized Hitchhiker's Guide, Peter Jones. It was seen in the USA shortly thereafter, and that's when I fell in love with the story. It's available now, by the way, on DVD from BBC Video. The TV version was a low-budget affair with lots of cheesy special effects, but it also had a dry sense of humor that shone through perfectly. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy begins with the destruction of Earth, after which we follow one of its only survivors, a quiet Englishman named Arthur Dent, who has been rescued by a researcher doing fieldwork updating entries for the computerized Guide to the Galaxy. Here's how the guide and the TV series sounded more than 20 years ago, when Peter Jones provided the voice of the soothing, informative, handheld computer.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is a wholly remarkable book. The introduction starts like this. Space, it says, is big, really big. You just won't believe how vastly, hugely, mind-bogglingly big it is. I mean, you may think it's a long way down the street to the chemist, but that's just peanuts to space. Listen. And so on. After a while, the style settles down a bit and it starts telling you things you actually need to know. Like the fact that the fabulously beautiful planet Bethselamin is now so worried about the cumulative erosion caused by over 10 billion visiting tourists a year that any net imbalance between the amount you eat and the amount you excrete whilst on the planet is surgically removed from your body weight when you leave. So, every time you go to the lavatory there, it is vitally important to get a receipt.
Hollywood first approached Adams about turning Hitchhikers into a movie in 1979. He did enough work on it over the years that he's credited with Kerry Kirkpatrick as co-author of the screenplay, even though he died in 2001. The problem, as Adams often pointed out, is that it takes time to destroy the Earth in the beginning of the movie, and that doesn't leave much time for the rest of the story. That's why a TV miniseries was ideal, and why I was so skeptical about this new movie version. Even though computerized special effects and puppetry have progressed to the point where all of Adams's crazy imaginings can be put on the screen, can they be put there in a coherent and entertaining fashion? The answer, I'm both surprised and delighted to report, is yes. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, directed by Garth Jennings, ought to please longtime Douglas Adams fans and make plenty of new ones. The movie stars Martin Freeman as Arthur Dent, and it's a perfect bit of casting. He played the polite porn star in Love Actually and the likable paper salesman Tim in the brilliant British version of The Office. Mos Def plays Ford Prefect, the alien researcher who saves Arthur from certain death. Zooey Deschanel, the sister in Almost Famous and Will Ferrell's girlfriend in Elf, plays Trillian, one crew member of the spaceship that gives Arthur and Ford a ride. And Sam Rockwell, in a delightful role that's equal parts George W. Bush and Wayne Newton, plays another, the two-faced and two-headed alien, Zaphod Beeblebrox. All these characters and performances are playful and delightful, and the fun doesn't stop with them. One of my favorite characters, the super-intelligent and super-depressed robot named Marvin, is a real standout here. In this new movie version, he has the body of a metallic Charlie Brown, big round head, constant sad slouch. He also has the perfect voice, provided by Alan Rickman. In this scene, Marvin welcomes cosmic hitchhikers Arthur and Ford to their new spaceship. Well, welcomes may be too strong a word.
Ghastly. I've been ordered to take you up to the bridge. Oh, please yourself. Here I am, brain the size of a planet, and they ask me to take you up to the bridge. Call that job satisfaction, because I don't. You can thank the Sirius Cybernetics Corporation for building robots with GPP.
What's GPP?
Genuine people personalities. I'm a personality prototype. You can tell, can't you?
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, like Marvin, is a lot smarter than most things around him. In the area of science fiction especially, you won't find many movies as clever or as amusing as this is. And as a bonus, it also provides the answer to life, the universe, and everything.